This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello. This is episode 99 of the Out of Bounds podcast. I'm Adam Jabber. I'm your host, have been for 99 episodes, and that's pretty cool. I'm excited. It's pretty crazy. I would have guessed that I would have done six and then quit. So that's because of everybody that listens that I'm still doing it. So appreciate that. This episode is a gear talk. So if you're not familiar, basically what it is we're just going to chat about gear and other stuff, and we try to make it fun. This one's with Luke Kappa. From Blister Gear, I'm sure you're familiar with. If you're not, they have a magazine that they put out, which is like all gear stuff, like the gear, I want to say it's called the Gear Bible. They do a million different podcasts. Their website's great. I mean, they're great at producing content that people care about when it comes to gear. So shout out to those guys. Shout out to Luke for doing this with me. We did it over the old Google Hangouts because Corona times. So yeah. In this one, we talk about our favorite skis of 2020, 2021, meaning like next season if skis in fact do get delivered. Basically, we broke it up into five categories, or I broke it up into five categories, which was personal faves, most surprising, most on brand, best carver, and best weight to skiability. So important categories, at least I think, or we think. So we kind of chat about that stuff, chat a little bit about Luke and his background. Yeah, that's basically it. So, yeah, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to it. I'm not going to do like a formal ad read, but we have a video dropping on Monday, the 13th of April, I think. From Cannon Mountain. It's like their promotional video. It's really cool. It was an awesome couple days that we got to spend up there, and next season I plan on spending a ton more time up there because Cannon is rad. It's like, it's so much fun. There's so many different spots. We got like the full tour from like the groomer laps to the park laps to, I mean, we got everything, man. Like we got glade runs with like that were untouched. We got like, I actually lost my binding in the woods somewhere in one of the glades in Stinger. Yeah, it was great. It was crazy. So if you find, speaking of that, if you find an FKS 18 tow piece in the woods near Stinger at Cannon, hit me up because it's mine. Long story. Anyway, check that out when it drops. We'll put it on our YouTube. We'll put it on, I'm sure they'll put it up too. We'll put it on social media. It'll be everywhere. So it shouldn't be too hard to find it. If it is, we screwed up. But I want to tell you about it ahead of time. So this is a gear talk. So that's really it. I wanted to ask you guys again, please leave us a review on iTunes if you haven't yet. It helps a ton. And I really, really enjoy getting feedback. We got a bunch of great feedback from the last episode with Tori Anderson. Way more than I was expecting to get. Which is really cool. So I hope we continue to get stuff like that. And I don't know, it's super hot in this office. Like I'm dying right now. There's something else I was gonna, oh yeah. Follow us on social media, follow us on the YouTube. Summer's gonna be the time we'll have more stuff coming out on the old video player website thing, YouTube. And then that's basically it. I don't really have a whole lot of other messages, so let's just get right to it. Episode 99, Gear Talk number 6 or 7 or whatever. Luke, who are you? What do you do? Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am the managing editor at Blister. For anyone that's not familiar, at Blister, we focus mostly on gear reviews of all sorts of outdoor equipment, focusing mostly on providing really in-depth info and honest info. So our reviews tend to be pretty long and get pretty into the weeds. And so my role as the managing editor, I'm the one kind of managing the daily content we put out, writing a lot of reviews, editing a lot of reviews, spending a lot of time outside normally, not right now, but normally testing hosting gear and also taking a lot of the photos for us as well.
So you're doing like everything basically is what it sounds like. That's like the whole job, I think, at a gear review company. Like what you just said is like literally like all the aspects.
Yeah, it's we all of us at Blister end up kind of functioning as human Swiss Army knives. Like we have to do a little bit of everything. But yeah, I have my hands in just about everything. Apart from the podcasts we do, I leave that mostly to my boss, the founder of Blister, Jonathan Ellsworth. I hop on some of our podcasts occasionally, but I don't have to deal with a lot of that stuff. But the vast majority of the things you will see us post, I've had some sort of a role in.
Yeah, that's really cool. How did you meet Jonathan? How'd you get the job?
So I went to school at CSU in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I was actually a apparel product development major, and that's what I graduated with. I think it was after my sophomore year of college, I was finally committing to getting into backcountry skiing after spending way too much time on snowshoes. And I was just looking for ski setups and reviews and ended up stumbling upon Blister and liked their reviews. And then that summer I was working two part-time jobs, but not getting a ton of hours. And Blister just posted that they actually needed a graphic design intern. And I had used the Adobe Creative Suite a little bit for my classes, not pertaining to regular graphic design stuff. Like I was designing clothes, but, they gave me the internship as a graphic designer. And then from there, it was basically like, I'd get a call from someone at Blister like, hey, we need someone to do this. Can you do it? And I was like, I'll try. and that eventually turned into a very full-time position.
Yeah. What do you do now? Like what you're like Colorado shut down basically. What are you doing lately? Like what's that? How does that affect you guys? Because like a lot of the ski industry right now is like full shut the fuck down mode, you know, as like a company that puts out content though, you're not as shut down. I mean, you're shut down in the sense that you are in your house right now, but like, you're not like, you still have to put stuff out there. So what does it look like? What does your job look like now?
Yes. So it actually, it's not the end of the world for us. The major bummer on our end is just that in terms of inbounds, like resort skis, we normally test all the way into June. Like we'll be at whatever resort is open still testing skis. So that part of our testing season got cut off. But fortunately, we were still able to get on a ton of skis this winter. But nowadays, we've shifted in terms of the content we're putting out, shifted our focus more towards the touring side of things. But that's now getting much more complicated, too. Yeah. But basically our position is like, we have all this gear that we spent time on. We're still going to put out these reviews and they'll be on our site forever. So when the time comes that you need to think about buying something, we'll have the reviews there for you. And also just like, if you're going crazy, like I am, and many of us are, like reading a review, maybe it takes your mind off things for 10 minutes. That's kind of our part, as well as like so many shops right now are putting out a ton of sales. So we're going to keep putting out reviews for the products, especially the ones like all the winter gear that's going on sale right now. Like I've talked to hundreds of our members over the past 2 weeks who are like, yeah, like the ski I've been eyeing for a while is finally on sale and it's super cheap. So right now we're kind of running business as usual, but it's very much not, like, if you think about it, not business as usual. And up until now, safe backcountry skiing with applying social distancing practices was still an option. It's looking like that may not be an option in the very near future. So that'll complicate things even more. But we're kind of just putting out the content we can. And then we'll very soon be shifting our focus towards the mountain bike and trail running side of things. That's what we do a lot of during the summer.
Yeah. It's weird, man. Like, I mean, it's everything's on sale. Like there's everybody that has a map policy doesn't have a map policy anymore. They're just like, fuck it. Everybody like figure your shit out. Like this is what it's going to be like from now on. Like it's crazy. It's there's like 2021 gear on sale right now, and it's like, what is going on? Like,
Just
like I've been like, because like I work at the shop, and like that's my shop, so like I'm like figuring out like what we're gonna do with like all this stuff, and we're just like, what if we don't get inventory in the fall? You know, what if companies don't ship? Because that's like a realistic situation. Like, it people are probably, if I'm betting, nobody gets shipped on time, other than apparel. Like, I mean, I think people will get apparel from some companies on time, but I don't think people are getting shit, especially if it's not made in the US, on time in the fall. Like, I just don't see it happening. So like, it probably will be a good season for companies that are smaller, more niche, maybe. I mean, but they still get a lot of their materials from other places. So I mean, there's going to be delays across the board. So
yeah, I think we'll be seeing the effects of all this for a long time.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the night, and it's not really nice, but I think that this is going to weed out a lot of the like shitty business practices that kind of get like accepted in the ski industry. Like, shops not really being on their game, right? Companies kind of just being like, whatever. And like this is going to, like, if it doesn't force them to be more on their game now, it's going to make them more prepared for the future, I think, or they're going to go out of business. There's like not a lot of options here.
Yeah, I think the companies that are able to adapt are definitely going to be the ones that are going to come out better on the other side of this. Yeah, I think it's going to shake up a lot of stuff.
Oh, it's next year is going to be a weird season. There's a couple friends of mine that think we're not going to have a season, period, you know? So I'm just like, I'd like to not think that, but you know.
Yeah. I'm just going to ignore it for now. Like, I'm going to do my social duty for sure, but I'm going to try and not just delve into the pit of despair yet.
Yeah. All right. So we got skis. We're going to talk about skis. I may just say, let's say fuck it on boots for now, and then let's do boots later at a different time, because boots are so personal. And I think that boots are like, people kind of need to like be wanting a boot to listen to that part of it anyway. So I think we should do it. I just think we should leave it as a separate episode. So like, if people want to do that, we'll put that out maybe later.
Yeah.
All right. So skis. We got five categories, basically, is what I split stuff up into. And then we'll kind of go off on a little bit of different versions from those things. We got personal favorites, best weight to ski ability ratio, which is basically like lightweight skis that ski well. Like, what's the best one in that category, basically? Most surprising. So the ski that you were like, I'm going to fucking hate the ski, and ended up loving it. Or like, you just were like, eh, it's going to be meh, it's going to be another whatever. Like, for me, it's like, it's always K2 is like my brand that I'm always like, eh, it's meh skis all the time. But then like, they always are the one that's surprising me with something. So like, that's a brand. That's not my pick, but that's just an example. Best carving ski. That's pretty self-explanatory, but, and I guess I don't mean race skis necessarily, which, you know, like obviously like a race ski carves really well. We know this, but like, we're talking about other skis that carve really well. I don't really care about width. We're not being super specific. We're just kind of trying to give people an idea of some of the skis that are coming out next year, and then they can make their choice. And then what else? I'm missing one, right? Most on brand. Most on brand basically is just like the company that you would be like, of course they make that fucking ski. You know, like, it makes it makes sense. And it's the ski that like, we'll go into all these. So what do you want to start with?
I guess most surprising might as well.
Okay. Go for it. What was it for you?
Yeah, for me, when I was coming up with this list, it was mostly small brands just that like I wasn't really familiar with or like hadn't stayed on top of for a long time. And this year we got to test a few skis from White Dot. They're out of the UK, not a huge brand. I think they were big on the free ride scene a few years back, and now they're kind of coming back. But I spent a lot of time on their Altum series. We have the 104 and the 114, and they're pretty lightweight, twin tipped, like all mountain freestyle skis, but not like, like they still have like a -6 centimeter mount point, so not like dead center or anything like that. And I was pretty blown away by how much I liked both of them, but the 104 I spent the most time on just because it's more sensible in most cases. And for being pretty light, it doesn't feel really harsh and twitchy, but it's also a strong ski, so you can push it pretty hard, especially when the snow is good. And I've found that I just like really get along with skis with mount points in that -6 range, because like the Ultim 104, you can push it really hard through the shovels, or you can ski it centered, still feels great in the air, still ski switch well, just like kind of really summed up like all mountain freestyle for me. Like, you don't have to be throwing tricks to like it, but it's really fun to do so. And while it's pretty light, like still pretty stable enough for me to ski it plenty hard, and like carves really well, is still really easy to slarve around, just like one of those skis where I couldn't really come up with any major complaints. And coming from a brand that I wasn't super familiar with, and I hadn't skied any of their skis before, that was a very pleasant surprise. It's always nice when you're not sure about a ski and it ends up being really good and you don't hate yourself for taking it out on a certain day.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never skied White Dot stuff before. I've seen it, and like, it seems like they kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone can correct me on this. I want to say they stopped their production cycle for a year or so. Okay. But they came out with a few models last year that carried over this year, and they're coming back next year. And yeah, was a big fan of that Ultim series. And we've also got their, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Ronde 110, mm-hmm. I think. Much more of a directional ski, not quite as up my alley. But like, yeah, those Ultim skis are super fun.
Sick. So for me, it was the Line Blade. I thought I was gonna fucking hate that ski. I looked at it and I was like, this is a fucking Salomon BBR, you know, like this is like, this is the dumbest looking thing. Why are we doing this again? Like, we just did this like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, like, and it didn't sell. It was fucking, it looked like a surfboard. I kind of liked that ski, but like, it wasn't good, you know, like it wasn't a good ski, definitely not sales wise and definitely not like overall performance wise on a regular day. This blade was great, man. Like, it holds an edge really well. It's extremely turny. Like, and I skied it in a few different conditions where it was like boilerplate, like full on East Coast conditions, like soft spring conditions, and then like, you know, maybe like 2-3 inches of snow. And in everything, it was awesome. I mean, I wouldn't want it to be like my only ski, I don't think.
Yeah.
But if you were like, I just want to like go and rip turns on a fun ski, like this is it's way better than whatever. What is it? It's replacing Supernatural, right? Or something that.
I think effectively, like the Supernatural.
It's not the same ski, right?
Yeah. Like, nothing's the same ski as the blade.
Yeah, no, nothing's the same ski, and it's fun. I like what Line's doing with this. Like, last year it was like, Peter's a fucking genius, man. Like, it's the vision was awesome, and this is awesome. Like, I think Line's on track to like find it, because they've been trying to do it for a long time, right? Where they were like trying to make skis that like people with money would want to buy. And this is like, they're finally hitting that wave where like people are like, I'll buy a Vision and tour on it. That seems really fun, you know? And they're like, next year they're going to be like, I'll buy this weird looking spatula fucking thing, and it'll be great, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Did you ski that
thing? Yeah. I'll hold off on my comments, cause I'm definitely going to talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to the next one. Actually, you know what? The other one that I was like surprised by, I never thought I'd like Liberty stuff. I really like that Liberty Orange, is that Origin. It's not new, but like, I really enjoyed it. You know,
they're
like,
good skis.
It's a solid ski. I have this like memory of like Liberty from like the last time I had skied them, which was like probably 6 or 7 years ago. And I was just like, they're boring. They're wood. Like, okay, cool. They're made in wherever, you know, they're made in Colorado, but like, why does it matter? But it actually skis awesome. It looks great. I was super impressed with that ski overall.
I'm a huge fan of the Origin series. I think I've skied all of them except the Origin Pro, which I think is going away next year. Yeah, like, just like super intuitive. They're playful, but you can still ski them with a totally directional style. Like, they're light enough for people to put a shift or something on them and tour on them.
And
that's another series where I'm just like, I don't really have anything to complain about.
No, it's great. Like, if you wanted a great 50-50 ski, like if you were like, I go touring like maybe, you know, 4 or 5 days a year, or like, you know, legitimately half of the time, that's a great choice, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. That's most surprising. Best weight to ski ability ratio.
Okay. So for this one, I'll talk about a new ski, but I have to give a shout out to the Line Sick Day series. The Sick Day 104, I think, is still probably the best weight to downhill performance ratio of any ski I've ever tried. There are now a lot of really good competitors, but that ski is just phenomenal in that regard, in my opinion. As for new skis, we actually just wrote a review of this, the Wonder Alpine Intention 110.
That's really good.
Yeah, I spent a good chunk of time on the Cambered version this year, and that, like, the 185 centimeter version comes in at like 1800 grams. And like, I took it, I used it on the deepest resort day we had this year, and was like, it was totally fine in deep snow. But also, like, when the resort got super chopped up, I did not feel like I was on some backcountry only ski. And then I skied it in firm conditions too. And like, yeah, I wouldn't pick it for a resort ski, and that's not what they're designing it for. But like, for a ski that's plenty light for the backcountry, and that I also would not be upset about skiing in the resort, like, that Intention 110 is really impressive, I think.
Yeah, I like that ski a lot. I've only skied on it a little bit, but it was great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm super conflicted here, but I have like two picks, kind of, because I'm indecisive and I don't know like what to do with this category, kind of. Because I think stuff either skis like shit downhill and you just accept it, you know, like there's a lot of like full touring skis that are super light and like they just ski like garbage, but they get you down the hill, and that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's also stuff that's like supposed to be kind of touring capable that's too heavy. So for me, it was it's two skis, neither of them are new. I think the Hannibal 106, as far as like lightweight ones, that's probably my favorite downhill skiing real touring ski. Like if you want like a lightweight, you know, I forget how much it weighs and I didn't write it down, but it's like that ski is awesome. It holds an edge well. It's easy to maneuver and it's like easy to swing short turns on. And I think that's super important for a ski that light. Like if you're just going to do like short choppy turns and you're in a tight section or you're in the woods, that's by far my best pick, in that category. As far as like other skis, it's for me, it's the Vision, you know, like Vision is great. Like I like, feel like I'm like humping line a little too hard right now, but like it's great. Like, I mean, that ski is awesome. It skis downhill really, really well. Like you do, for me, like I ski it in whatever the biggest length that they make it in. And I think it's
189 or something.
Yeah. It's big, you know? So like it's super fun. It's lightweight, it's playful. Like, but you can literally do everything with it. You can take it in the park if you want to, you can make turns on it, you can ski pow with it. I mean, you can do everything with it. And I've just been super impressed with it. I think for me, the price point's a little high. Like, you know, I think it's probably $100 too expensive, but like it's because I think it's $799. And I just think for a ski with no metal that is light, but it's not like obnoxiously light. I have like, to me, it's kind of a hard sell, but I do. That being said, like we sold it really well. So I can't really like, you know, I can't shit on it for that reason, I guess. So
Yeah. I love the Vision skis. The 108 is, it's in my top three for sure for favorite touring skis right now, because you don't see a lot of skis that are that light that are also like actually playful.
Yeah.
Like I don't mind skis with like really stiff flex patterns if that's what I need. Like I'm skiing something super steep or want to go super fast, but like those Visions make slow skiing so much more fun. And given that like in Colorado, midwinter, we're usually skiing really mellow stuff due to avalanche danger. And like that Vision 108 makes that stuff so much more fun than any other ski I've skied that's that light. And then, yeah, it still holds an edge well. And like, I think the level of damping for how light it is really good. Yeah. So I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good call. And it's like, I think the sizing on it's a little weird. Like I also like, I'm kind of a proponent of like, I think companies should like go away from like this 1 centimeter different sizing, because like, especially as companies, like it kind of makes me mad, and I get with the rocker point thing, but it makes it confusing, like 179 to 186 to whatever. Like it's, we should just make them like 180, 185, like make it easier for people to understand, because people already don't get what that measurement is like at a very basic level. Like I know people that know gear do, but so with the sizing with the ski, not just like the physical measurement that they're calling it, like I feel like you do have to size it up a little bit if you're going to use it as like your everyday ski. But
yeah,
versus like a ski like the Hannibal, like I'm fine skiing it in a shorter, like I ski the 96 as like my everyday touring ski, and like that ski in a 176, which is normally like super short for me, but in that ski it's actually great. You know, the biggest they make it in is a 182, and a 182 is not fun to ski in most terrain. And I'm like 6 foot, 200 pounds. Like I'm not a small person. So like it still in a one, I just think the sizing is a little different than what you might find in other skis in that range, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We're on the 183 Vision 108 and 118 and the 179 Vision 98. And yeah, for basically all, like, I wish they did the 98 and like a 183, and yeah. I wish they did the 108 and the 118 and like a 186 or something.
Yeah.
Like, the 180, like, and especially like if you look at a 186 versus a 183, like the physical difference is so small, and yeah. I always have to remind myself of that. But yeah, like if I had one complaint, it'd probably be the sizing on those skis.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Next we'll do best carver. What do you got?
So I was, the blade is up there for me. Like it's not like, it doesn't match a lot of like really narrow skis in terms of pure edge hold, but I would call it the most fun carver I skied this year. Just cause like, I mean, nothing apart from the Sakana, I think that was the tightest radius ski I skied all year. And yeah. It's just, turns out it can be really fun to make really tight turns at really high edge angles.
Yeah.
So that I'd say is the most fun carver. To kind of mix questions here, most surprisingly good carvers for like wider all mountain skis, the Rossignol Black Ops Sender and the K2 Reckoner 102, two very different skis, but that Sender, I think it's like 102 millimeters underfoot, but like pulls you into a turn, really good edge hold, can still feather turns, really liked it. And then the Reckoner 102, like for being a twin tip freestyle ski with a good bit of rocker, like I had so much fun carving that ski, especially when the snow was like at all soft. It kind of reminds me of the line Sir Francis Bacon in that it's like freestyle ski, but like fairly tight radius, really easy to bend. Mm. And lots of pop coming out of a turn. So those would be probably my top three.
Yeah. What's the, so Sender or Sender tie?
I actually ended up preferring the non-Tetnal one, probably because I skied the 187 centimeter Sender TI, and then skied the one, I think they call it a 178 Sender, even though it's the same length as the 180 TI. But anyway, I like that one because I felt like it's a little less torsionally rigid. And for me, like I'm 5'8", 155 or so. And like for me, that 187 TI version felt like it was kind of difficult to like feather turns, and it kind of just wanted to stay in its one radius where I could kind of bend and release the non-TI version a little easier, which for me just made it a more versatile carver. I'd probably trust the TI version more in terms of edge hold just because like it doesn't really bend torsionally.
Yeah, no, it doesn't really at all. I mean, I actually really like that ski, and I have that ski on my list for a different reason on a different list, so I'll talk about it later, but I like both of those. I think the Reckoner's great too. Like that ski moves extremely well. Like I was really impressed with how well that thing skied for what it is. And I like that K2's making it. Like it's a ski they should have been making for a while, I feel like.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that the whole Reckoner lineup I think makes a lot of sense for them. Like I was thinking about like over the past 5 to almost 10 years probably, like K2's freestyle skis have been so heavy. And like, while I love a lot of really heavy skis, they were like heavy and soft or heavy and super tapered, like the Catamaran. And it just kind of like the weight wasn't doing a whole lot for them. So like these Reckoners, they're not crazy tapered, but they're way lighter. And I think it just like, they kind of make more sense than some of the past K2 freestyle skis.
No, it's definitely my favorite one in a while. So I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me just try to pause my email's like blowing the fuck up right now, so okay. Ski Journal says we're in this together, a letter from our publisher. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I've gotten about a million of those.
Yeah, it's like, all right, like I get that everybody's doing that right now, but like let's not, how about that, like let's everybody calm down. Like everybody's gonna be okay if your company doesn't send a message saying like oh, we're with you. Like, okay, cool, man. But like, how do I get back? How do I get back to this video? Bit? Hang on. There you go. Okay. That was weird. So for carving skis, I like a couple that I think. So I have two or three picks. For me, it's like I like that new K2 Disruption. That series for me is great. Like I think it skis awesome, and I think it's fun. And that's like for a ski that's that narrow. Because I'm talking about like the 82 Ti one.
Yeah.
It skis great. It's fun. It's not like, you know, kick your dick in kind of stuff. Like it's like there's a lot of those skis out there that are supposed to be like masters race skis or like fun frontside carving skis that are not fun to ski. Like they're like you can ski them for sure, and like on real hard snow they're okay, but they're not great. I just think that the like how far up they push the wide point of that ski makes it nice, and like the way that you engage the turn is like slower. It doesn't bite so heavy on the way in, but it still holds. Like you can run a super super high edge angle, like and get flat on that thing, and it still feels like you're going to be able to come out of it. It doesn't feel like you're stuck in that turn.
Like you're just going to keep going in that turn forever.
Yeah, because there's so many skis, you know, at 82 underfoot that like if you lock into that thing, it might not want to come out. You know, like if you go too far, there is a too far point. You know.
Yeah.
So I do like the blade pick. I'm not going to pick it just because I picked it already for something else, but you can turn like just on that note, like you can turn that ski in a fucking circle. Like that's what Jeff Curry's doing. He's doing like an ad right now, like where they're him and Pollard are literally turning the ski in a full circle right now. And I think there's probably not many other skis that you're going to do that on, at least.
I tried that so many times last year on the Bacon, but the blade was the ski that finally let me do it.
Yeah. You're like,
it's super fun to try too.
Yeah. The other one that I really liked, which again is not a new ski, but it like has changed what they did with the rest of the line, is the Enforcer 88. Enforcer 88 for me is like, it's such a fun, like playful, but still like when you put the ski up on edge, it holds all the way through. It's got energy. Everything you put into the ski, you get out of it. And honestly, like if you change your body position and ski it in different ways, it will give you different reactions. Like it just like with any ski, but like when you, like if you ski that ski and drive that tip super hard, you're going to get a different level of energy out of that ski specifically, I think, than you will out of a lot of other ones in the category. So I just liked it. And I also liked it because like it's a proven thing because like they're changing the rest of the series to be like that ski more. Which I think is really cool. You know, like I think that shows that there's like some benefit to having a ski that carves as well at 88 underfoot. Because normally when a company takes a series and they bring it down to those narrower widths, from what I've seen, like it hasn't been great, you know? I think it's a little different with like Vocal, and the Kendo is probably the exception. But like when Blizzard did it and they were like, let's make the Latigo. Like nobody bought Latigos. Nobody's buying the Brahma 82 right now. Like it's not, people are selling it, but they're buying the cheap one. They're not buying the real version of it. This is maybe like too far in the weeds on this, but like, I think I just was really impressed with how well it worked out for them using that design to go forward with a lot of the rest of the line. Cause they took a lot of the same properties and moved it forward with the Enforcer.
Yeah. I like the Enforcer 88 and the new 94. I like how both of them carve, especially because like you said, like you can ski them pretty centered, and unlike some skis in that class, like some skis in that class, if you ski them centered, you have zero control over the ski.
Yeah.
But like the Enforcers, like you can just ride the side cut from the middle of the ski. Like the interesting thing with the Enforcers is like it seems like based on shape, they just took the 100 and narrowed it down, and they didn't like if you look at, I mean, most skis in that class, like they dial back the taper a ton compared to the wider skis, whereas that Enforcer, it doesn't, like the widest point isn't all the way at the end of the ski,
right?
And so like I like how it carves, but I also really like how it skis off piste. Like that's one of my favorite like all mountain skis that's under 90 millimeters underfoot. Like I have no problem taking that in like the steeps around Crested Butte when it's firm here. I like that. The whole Enforcer series, huge fan.
Everybody knows about it. So like I also kind of felt bad picking that as a choice because like everybody is on Enforcer all the time. Like it's the ski that's like the easiest to sell on a ski wall right now. Like you just go to that thing and you're just like, this is it. Like, I don't know you, but like if you can ski at all, like this is a good, whether you're like an intermediate, or you're an advanced level skier, and maybe even less than an intermediate. Like, you can be the best skier on the hill, or like an okay, real okay skier, and that enforcer is still a good option. So I felt like at 88 underfoot, like for a ski that carves really well and that does everything, I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, most on brand.
So this is where I think the Blade for me is the clear answer, just because like Line is, they are not known for their carving skis. They are known for making what I just call fun skis. Like their motto is, what is it? Making more funner or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, they took the idea of like a metal laminate carving ski and made it absolutely different than everything else. And it's like, I mean, it's still 95 underfoot. So it's not like, it's not a dedicated carver, but that thing, like, I feel like they kind of started a trend with the Pescado and the Sakana, because now like Armada has the Stranger, which I really, really want to try, which is another tight side cut radius all mountain ski. But like, you don't see a lot of 9,500 foot skis with like a supposedly like 13 meter radius, huge tip, narrower tail. Mm. And I think like my first, when I first skied that, my first note was like, it is impossible to ski this without smiling. Like, I was literally making like race car noises as I was carving it. Like, and it was not like, I couldn't help it. Like, it was subconscious, like the 8-year old in me coming out. Like, that ski is just fun. And I think it basically sums up like Line as a brand. My honorable mention, and this ski I actually haven't skied, but I've talked to Jonathan a lot about it, is the new Blizzard Coach East 106. That, like, from what he's told me, he's like, yeah, it's finally getting closer to the original Coach East, which was like the defining ski for Blizzard for a while.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, yeah, it's a stable, it's a game, like fairly game on all mountain charger, two sheets of metal. Like, it's not an easy ski, but like for ripping a very wide variety of conditions and still maintaining some maneuverability, like, it seems like they've kind of gotten back to their roots a little bit. And I won't say too much about it because I haven't skied it yet, but by the sound of it, it's kind of returning to what they were known for.
Yeah. So yeah, the Line thing, the Blade, I think that's a ski that everybody, if we haven't talked about it enough, like, I think that's a ski that everybody should have as their second ski, because it is, it's that fun. Yeah. You know, like, I really, like, shout out to Peter for Scale. That's what his Instagram is. So hit him up. Like, that dude's the fucking man. He's super smart. And Line's, I think, really lucky to have somebody like that that's going to help design product like this for the foreseeable future. So I'm excited to see what else they come up with, because this kind of shit is what they need for sure.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to, I mean, I don't think they're going to do a million units or anything like that. Like, it's not going to be the best selling ski in the world. Like, it just looks too weird. But, like, they will sell quite a few, I think. And especially because, like, people's reactions to it are like, that's, it's fun, man. It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cool thing is, like companies have gone with really crazy designs in the past. And a lot of times turns it out really crazy designs suck. Like, people have their stuff figured out for the most part, but it's really cool when a company can actually put out something unique and it's really fun in its own way. And I think that like sums up the Blade.
And then, so I actually have, so for my most on-brand ski that a company makes, I have Blizzard Bonafide 97/Cochise 106.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jonathan's right. You're right. Like, that's, it's 100% what Blizzard used to do that they haven't done in a little while. Like, that ski fucking charges. It's fun. It looks good. It's not like fun in the sense that you're going to like, you know, it's not the most playful thing in the world, but it skis really well at speed. You put it on edge and you feel like that purchase is there. Like, you get that immediate connection to the snow and you're just like, fuck, like, this is what I want in a ski, especially at 106. Like, it's like, normally that's not a ski that I would be talking about for, especially for New England, but that ski is great. I would recommend that to anybody that spends time out west, that's hunting for snow as a second, like as a second pair of skis that charge, like, but just like, be aware, it is a charger. But I think that ski for Blizzard makes all the sense in the world. I actually had some, I don't have an honorable mention. I have like the opposite of an honorable mention. I have, and it's not for a bad reason. Like I do really like the ski. I have like the least on brand ski, which for me was the Rossi Black Ops. Like that whole series to me doesn't make any fucking sense for Rossi. Like it's like where, like, I don't know who was like, oh, we need to make cool skis now. Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense for them to be doing this. Like, at all for a whole series, because Black Ops did well, they were like, we're gonna fucking double down on this shit and we're gonna make a whole series of and none of them make sense, by the way. Like they're all just like, oh, here's a ski, and like the whole series yeah, and we're just like Black Ops fucking Feather Duster or whatever the lightweight one's called. Like just like sender, I just want to know how we're gonna go and replace Soul 7, which is like in like the 7 series, which is like such, I mean, which needed to die. Like I'm happy it's dead, but I'm like very weirdly confused. Like where we're going to replace a ski that skied like shit on groomers. Like if we're honest, you know, and then replace it with skis that are like do everything. Like it's weird. It's just a weird move. I felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. That was perplexing to say the least. And I mean, the good news is all the Black Ops skis I've skied have been very good. It's just that they're so, so different than the 7 series. Yeah. So it's like, and like, yeah, like, yeah, the non-TI sender is more accessible than the TI, but it's still not a Soul 7.
No.
And while it's still a very good ski, it is just confusing. Like, I feel like, I mean, I don't know how brand loyal people are, but like, if you loved the Soul 7, which like one of our reviewers, like he loves that ski. He's a phenomenal skier. But he skis with a suit. He skis with like a super light on his feet style. So he loves it. But like he's not going to love the Senders. So I don't know. I mean, I'm glad they're making solid skis, but definitely one of the more off-brand moves of the year.
Oh, for sure. Like when I saw it, I was like, wow, this is the first time I've ever said I like the way Rossi stuff looks, you know. Like I like the Panther thing on the Black Ops, but like Black Ops felt like nothing before, you know. Like it felt like, oh, these are skis we make that are cool, we're not going to promote them. It's like what Fisher does with like the Nightstick, you know. Like Nightstick's a cool ski, but like they don't ever promote it. Like they're just like, it's here, you can buy it if you want. Like that's kind of what I felt like Black Ops was. And then they were like, oh, all our eggs are going to be in Black Ops now, you know.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Experience is the ugliest fucking lineup I've ever seen in my entire life. Like in case you didn't know, like people are the fucking worst. So that's kind of how it goes. Anyway, so before I got cut off, I was saying that Rossi fucking Experience looks like shit, and it's my least favorite looking, I would say it's my least favorite looking series, at least that's like a functional series, you know. Like obviously there's like random skis that are like that I think look like garbage. I think that new Dynafit Beast looks like, and also that's my least favorite ski of 2021, by the way. Beast 106, which I've heard people like that ski, so I used to like it. The new I think I haven't
skied it.
Yeah,
I skied, actually, so when I talked about, like, the first backcountry setup I got, it was the Dynafit Chugach.
I like
that
ski.
Which was, like, the way older predecessor. And, yeah, I got along with it. I didn't know what I was doing at that point, but it worked. But, yeah, I haven't been on any of their recent stuff.
Last year's was okay. I got to talk on the mic better. Last year's was okay. This year's just like, it's really rough, man. Like, I mean, it's probably a great uphill ski, but like putting that ski on edge is like, I'm not like, maybe I'll cut this part out because I don't want to shit on them for no reason because they do make some nice stuff. But like that ski is really rough, man. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it was a bad tune. Who knows? That's the thing is like, if you ski a ski once, you really don't know.
Yeah.
It could be anything. So we'll shut up about that ski for now. personal favorites. That's the last one. What do you got? What are your personal favorites? You can pick a couple, obviously.
So if we're not first, I'm gonna do not confined to new for next year. Rosinal Black Ops 118, which they're now calling the Black Ops Gamer, that's still my favorite ski of all time.
It's a stupid name.
It's a dumb name, but a phenomenal ski.
Yeah, it does ski like, great.
Yeah, just like, I mean, that thing's a straight up monster truck in any sort of variable snow, but still like a centered platform. It feels balanced in the air. It's not light in the air, but like it feels comfortable like throwing tricks, and it just blows through everything, and it carves really well for how extremely wide it is. So that's still my favorite ski of all time. As for this year, last year was the first year I skied the Black House 118, and that was a very clear standout. This year, it's not as clear for me, but there were a few that stood out. I already mentioned the K2 Reckoner 102. I think it is very far from a stable ski, but I think it's a good lightweight and super playful ski. And like, I always struggle with like, there are a lot of skis out there that are like kind of playful and kind of stable, but they fall into a weird middle ground. And what I've found is I really like skis usually on either end of the spectrum. And the Reckoner 102 is like, it's so playful that it makes up for its lack of stability. And I say the same thing about the line Sir Francis Bacon. But like for spring laps or any sort of soft snow or taking it through the park, it's like super fun to carve. It's so playful, just really fun. And then the other ski was I was kind of judging this based off like, if I was given the choice, and there were a few days like this where I'm like, I don't really need to test a new ski today, so what do I want to ski? And I kept coming back to the new Dynastar M-Free 108.
Yeah.
I really like that ski because it's pretty hefty, it's nice and damp, but it is so like so loose and easy to just slash around, which I think is a really fun combo. So like, it doesn't feel harsh on really rough snow. It's not going to like track through it like a much less tapered and rockered ski will, but like just super surfy and playful, but still pretty solid. My one major complaint with that one is the sizing. So they do 182, 192, and typically I prefer like for a 108 underfoot ski, I want like a 184 to 187. And while the 182 is really fun, it's definitely like, it's because it's so loose and easy to pivot. A lot of times in like chop and crud, I feel like the tips are like wanting to pull across the fall line more than I am. And then, but like I ski at Crested Butte and most of what we ski is really steep, techy, tight terrain. And I feel like that 192 is going to feel pretty long. I haven't skied it yet and we're hoping to next year. But all in all, really like that ski. Just wish they would make that in between size specifically for me, as every skier would complain about.
Yeah. I like that ski a lot. I don't know. Dynastar is like that company that I feel like exists, but doesn't get the kind of play that it deserves, you know, like it's a real company. And I mean, obviously it's like, it's because it's part of the Rossignol group, but like, I just feel like it gets buried all the time. And because the name's weird, like what's Dynastar, you know, like what's like, what is that? Like what people don't, it's although what's Rossignol, you know, what are any of these companies?
Yeah.
So maybe that's not the reason. I don't know what the reason is, but I feel like they get overshadowed a lot. This is one that I think looks good too. Like the M-Pro, looks really
beautiful
clean. One of my favorite top sheets. And that's going to be a big thing for them. Cause usually it's like, yeah, Dynastar skis really good. They're ugly as fuck. They're boring. Like they're just like, they're not the ski that like anybody over or under 45 buys, you know? And I think now it's a ski that like everybody can buy because it's not offensive to older people. It looks really good. Like younger people are like, I'm excited about this ski. It's getting good play. So we'll see what happens with it. Reckoner, like I said, I think is a good choice. And what was your number one, your overall pick?
Black Ops
118 is great too. Yeah. I mean, that's an awesome choice. And I'm just kidding about the name thing being dumb, but
I think Black Ops 118 was fine, and then
that's what I don't like is Black Ops is a good name, right? So now we got Rossignol, Black Ops, and then the fucking third name. Why do we need a third name? You know,
like, and then they make us spell it Black Ops in all caps, and it just looks really obnoxious.
Yeah, it's like yelling. Why are we yelling? You know, like I've got one. Like they look great. Finally, they ski great. Like all we had to do was just not name it something stupid, and we still fucked that up somehow. So
yeah. Fortunately, on the list of things to complain about, name is
bottom.
Not the end of the world.
Yeah, bottom. It's like right at the floor. So I mean, it's not a big thing, I don't think. But I mean, it is annoying, like especially like in retail, like having to say gamer and sender. Like I feel like a douchebag saying sender. So like it's
and holy shred.
Yeah. What are these names? You know, it's like these things are not. This should not happen. So, and I feel like Rossi's better than that. But then they also were like, I don't know. They do weird shit. So whatever. All right, personal faves. For me, so not new, my all-time, maybe not all-time favorite ski, but just like if I had to pick one ski to just go skiing on, not knowing what I'm going to go skiing, regardless of them paying me or not, it is the Fisher Ranger 102, like free. Yeah. I love that ski. It's so much fun.
It's a phenomenal ski.
You can do everything with it. You know, like I ski it in a 186 or whatever they make it in. And it's fun. Like I've literally switched from having a full on touring binding on that ski for the last few weeks. And then like having a Pivot 18 on it, you know, like you can do literally everything with it. And it's, and you know what? It's not the best ski for like any given random circumstance, but for doing everything, that's the ski. Like if I could just pick a ski, put it in my truck, not have to worry about where I'm going and just like pick a place. It's such a good fucking option for me. And I'm really happy to be on it. So like that's pick one. For next year, I think that Salomon Stance is fucking rad. Like, I think that's such a good ski. I, like, would be upset at myself if I didn't mention that because, like, it's a ski that they've been missing for a long time.
Yes.
And I think that's important, you know, like, because they've made these skis, like, the QST that's, like, a free ride, fun ski, but it's not, like, it's not stiff and it's 100% directional, like, for the narrower ones. And they're like, they're dad skis kind of until you get to like the 106 and the 118 or the 116, then they're like more aggressive, send to your skis. But 99, 92, are like, they're dad skis, you know, they're skis that you just sell a guy that's like, oh, I'm going powder skiing in a helicopter once, you know, like that guy buys that ski, you know, just because he wants a ski that'll do everything. It's like his first wide ski. That's that. Right. And then they make like the 4 series, which is Carver's. And then like they made XDR, which is like my least favorite ski series, like in a while. Cause it's just like, it's boring. It's ugly. Like it is literally like, I keep talking about how ugly things are, but like it is fucking ugly. Like it is not exciting, but Stance looks cool. It skis awesome, right? It's like, it's a twin-ish shape. You know, it's got a lot of the same properties. I guess you can kind of tell like what kind of skis I like as that Ranger 102. You know, it's like it's stiff enough. It holds an edge well. You can take it and do whatever you want with it. You can ski it switch. You can ski it forward. You can mount it at different points. I was super impressed with it, and I'm glad they're making it. So
which width of the Stance lineup is your favorite?
102.
Okay.
I think that's the one.
Yeah, I haven't skied that yet. We just have the 96, and then like right as the resort shut down, we got the narrower one.
I haven't skied the narrower one.
Yeah, they're not. But I thought the 96 was a really good all mountain ski, and like you said, like it was very much missing from Salomon's lineup. Like,
I
love, like, I think the QSTs are really good skis, and we recommend them to a ton of people because they work for so many people.
Yeah. Oh, it's an easy choice.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're looking for like strong metal laminate all mountain ski, like they didn't have that for a while now, and yeah, I thought that Stance 96 was great, even though I had one of my scarier moments on snow this year on that. We had just got a bunch of snow, and then like 2 days after was skiing the Stance 96, and they had groomed over all the soft snow, but apparently they didn't, certain areas weren't like pressured evenly. So I was like trying to carve it really hard and get laid over, and I hit a patch of snow that was just like completely unconsolidated underneath the corduroy, and just like almost exploded, like was on one ski going like 40 miles an hour for a while. And I was like, what happened? Like, was that the ski? And I look back, and there's just like a 6-inch trench where one of my skis had just dug into the snow and the other hadn't. But weird crashes aside, really good ski.
Yeah.
And I really want to get on the 102 because that sounds super fun.
That's the one I think for me that I was like, this is, because the 96 was great. I didn't ski the narrower one. The 96 was good. And I was like, okay, like I really like this. Like I'm really happy you guys are making it cool. Like, well, you know, people will sell these, you know, I think that's awesome. Then I got on the 102 and I was like, this, I could ski this all day. You know, I felt the same way where I could like, and that's like when I look for a ski that I'm like, I'm just going to be on in multiple different conditions. I'm just, like, that's the ski I kind of pick a lot of times, is like something with some metal, like that's stable enough at speed. Cause like I said, I'm not small. So like I usually want something with metal. So like the Ranger 102, like has that elongated mounting plate. So like it's and Fisher in general just makes stiffer stuff. Like, and like,
yeah, I think that's kind of like been their brand. Strong.
It's strong for sure. So for a ski that's like a non metal ski, like that's great. So the Stance is in that same platform, but it's like, it is a metal ski. And I think that metal laminate was needed. I'm happy to do it. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to add that, like, yeah, that Ranger 102 is a phenomenal ski. Like we a lot of our reviewers have very different skiing styles, and we've put a lot of us on it, and no one has disliked it. Like, it's just good.
Yeah, it's just a good ski. I'd like, so it's good that you're backing me up on this. So yeah. People aren't gonna be like, oh, I'm just like going with the fit. You're like, I don't fucking care. But like, it's not. And they actually asked me to like not mention stuff that like I don't actually like too. So I was like, you know, it makes sense. But that ski's great. I really like it. 94, I like a little less. I think it's kind of just gets misplaced. It is great. It's a good value ski, but it gets misplaced. All right, cool. Well, that was awesome. I think Sweet. That's it. I think it's probably a good thing that we didn't do boots because it's already been like almost an hour. Yeah. So people are not going to listen to an hour of like two people being like, yeah, that graphic fucking sucks. Like, so where can people find you on Instagram? Where can people find Blister on Instagram? And then anything else, like any other way you want to plug, feel free.
Yeah. Blister is just Blister Review at Blister Review, and it's blisterreview.com. So pretty easy to find us. If you want to follow me and see pictures of skiing and fish, I'm at Luke Coppa. But yeah, go check out Blister. If you've gotten through this whole conversation and are still interested, I can guarantee you'll find interesting things on our website.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hopefully people listen to this. I mean, they usually do pretty well. I think this is a good one. Yeah. People will be excited. This will come out in like the next couple weeks or whatever, and we'll put it out there. People need Corona content, so.